Well, good morning and welcome to Table at Grace Online. We are so glad that you're part of worship with us. And so I just want to invite you, if you're worshiping with us on Facebook, we have members of our Belong team that are there and they're ready to welcome you and also to interact with you as so I'm going to ask some questions during our sermon, and we would love for you to respond and be in conversation with you. Because today we're going to continue in our sermon series called Essentials as we're looking at how we live abundant life when everything around us is challenging, uncertain, and really more restricted than it ever has been before. And this is the last of our sermon series. If you've missed any of these messages, you can go to our website and find those there. Now, next week, I'm going to begin a conversation as we talk about searching for good. And I would love for you to be part of that conversation. So be sure and join us next week. Because today, as we dive into this, we're going to look at why we're in community together and the difference it makes in our lives as we look at this last of our essentials. That essential is community. And our main idea is this, that God calls us to be different together. And I'll read to you this passage from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 2. It says this, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scriptures it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But listen to this, this is verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Well, I'd love for you to share a time that you got this sense that you were part of something greater than yourself. Share a time below or think about that moment where you really got the sense that you were part of something greater than yourself. Well, over the past few years, I have volunteered at my children's elementary school as part of the Watchdog program. And this is a national program that invites fathers and father figures to come and to volunteer at the school. And I volunteered there. And so, in fact, I want to show you this picture. So this is me ready to be a crossing guard. Now, a couple things. The first one is that is me without a beard, and my family is horrified. I'm showing you this picture. But secondly, I want you to notice the smile, that little smirk that's on my face. Because as you see, I have so much energy, so much potential. That's not how I looked at the end of the day. That day was brutal. So teachers, I want you to know, now that we're all finding out how awesome you are as we're schooling from home, I want you to know I knew that before because I volunteered as a watchdog. And I might have thought my day was going to end at 3 o'clock and I was going to have a short day that day. That day was brutal. I was wasted. I had to have a 2-hour nap just to recover from being in the elementary school. But that's what I would tell the dads as they would come in and volunteer. I would say, your first time is going to be brutal, but it's so worth it. And because as you volunteer in the school, I would tell them this, that be prepared for an experience that you really can't anticipate, but you really just have to come and experience to really find out what it is. Because for the years after that, I had the opportunity to recruit dads and father figures, you know, uncles and grandfathers to come and to volunteer at the school. And they would say to me, "So I'm going to be a watchdog. Does that mean I get to walk up and down the halls and just be security?" And I would tell them, not exactly. You do walk up and down the halls, but when you do, be sure and give high five to the kiddos as they come by. They're going to be so excited to see you. And when you go to recess, don't just take recess off, but play tag, play four square, shoot hoops. Go and enjoy recess with the students. And when you go to a classroom and you're playing math bingo, play math bingo. And when you go into the lunchroom and you have lunch with your kiddo, have lunch with them. And whatever friends they invite to come sit with you, have lunch with them, laugh and joke enjoy your time there. When you see those teachers, tell them how grateful you are for them. And when you see those administrators, tell them that they're doing a great job and ask how you can help. And so dads, they would go and they would volunteer and they would come back and they say, yeah, that first time was tough, but I loved it. And then I would see them, they would volunteer over and over and over again because they've got that sense that they were part of something bigger than themselves. Because that's what happens, that when you're a part of something that really does make a difference in your life, and you get to see that it makes a difference in the life of someone else. And that's what I see in this passage in 1 Peter. Because as we look at this, we're picking up this conversation that Peter began in chapter 1 as he talked about purpose. And he said that for each of us, that we are called to be holy, to be set apart, that was our purpose. But now he's beginning to move that conversation along as we get into chapter 2, where he's saying it's not just our purpose alone, but it really is our purpose as we gather together, because we're meant to do this together. Because Peter is writing to Christians in Asia Minor who are facing persecution. They're facing difficulty. They're facing uncertain times. And as he's writing to them, he wants them to know that they don't experience this alone, but they experience this together. And as they come together, that they encourage each other. And he gives them this vision of what it is for them to be together. And he begins with this. He says, they are to be like babies. Did you catch that in verse 2? It says this. You are to be like newborn babies who crave spiritual milk. So what does he mean by this? I think he means that they need to focus on the essentials. Those things we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. That they need to focus on that essential of finding their purpose. That essential of having connection even in the midst of conflict. That essential of knowing that they really are a community together. That they have to have the essential of self-care, that they have to take care of their own spiritual, emotional, physical health. He's given them this vision of focusing on the essentials, because when they do that they then, and this is the why, they get to grow up in their salvation. And they do all of this together. He says, crave that pure spiritual milk, because when you do, you're going to grow up in your salvation. There's a purpose to this, that when you and I come to faith and we respond to this grace that God is offering to us, and then we begin this relationship with Christ, that's not the end of the story, it's just the beginning. That we have a whole lifetime in which we grow up in our faith. We get to have the experiences that God is calling us to have. We get to grow in knowledge. We get to meet members of God's family we had no idea that were there. That we get to experience faith, hope, and love each and every day. That's what it is for us to grow up in our salvation. It's a learning experience that God invites us onto. So I want to invite you to share a time in which you've learned something new recently, and how did you learn that? Share something that you recently learned and how you learned it. Now, as I've mentioned a few weeks ago, we got a new puppy at our house. So we had a few days in which our puppy was deciding that it wanted to chew on the baseboards of our house. Now, he doesn't do that anymore, but I then had baseboards that I need to repair, and I have no idea how to do that. So what I did, I had to learn something new, so you know what I did, is I went to YouTube, and I watched about 5 videos, and watched other people how they did it, saw the supplies that I needed, I went and bought those supplies, and I even got to work, and then I would go and watch those videos and see how I could refine the process. Basically, I looked to other people and learned how to do it. And I imagine you would do the same. If there's something you've learned how to do, you probably went to YouTube, or maybe you've asked someone who has experience with that, or maybe even called on a group of people and said, hey, tell me how to do that. Even if you're the kind of person who reads the instructions, somebody had to write those instructions, because that's what we do, is we learn from other people. We learn together. And that's what Peter is getting ready to point out to us, is that as we live this life together, it's just like in our life with God. That we need each other and we help each other grow up in our salvation. And so Peter wants to give us this great vision of the important role that each of us have as we do that together. That you and I have an important role with each other. And Peter wants us to see this. And he invites us to see this by using 2 metaphors that may not be really obvious to us at first glance. But these 2 metaphors are this. One is the temple, and the second one is the priesthood. So this begins in verse 5, where he says, "You are like living stones who are being built into a spiritual house." That's the first metaphor. The second one, to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's the second metaphor. So let's talk about those for a moment. The first one is the temple. Now, the temple was a place that people would go to connect with God. And as you look at the story of the scriptures, the temple is a central part of this. It was an important part of the life of Israel. It was an important part of Jerusalem. People would travel to come and to connect with God there at the temple, because the temple was the place you would go to connect with God. It was where God dwelled. And now Peter is saying, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice of Christ, Jesus is the cornerstone of this temple that God is building now, and you are living stones of that temple. That each and every one of you are a living stone, that together that we build this new temple in which God dwells, that it's each and every one of us together, our lives, God is building something new for God to dwell in. And that's where people will come to connect with God, when we're all together. And that leads us to the second metaphor, the priesthood. Now, the priesthood were those people who would offer the sacrifices to God. And in fact, the priest would be the one who would represent God to the people, and they would represent the people back to God. And they had that important function of offering those sacrifices to appease for sin, and also to bring people back together. That's what they did. And so Peter is saying, because of the sacrifice of Christ, now this priesthood that was an exclusive group, that was only those who were from the line of Aaron, who was Moses' brother, that you had to be born into this role and have this function. He says, now because of Jesus Christ, all of you are part of this priesthood. And now instead of offering sacrifices, the sacrifice you and I offer is our life. How we live our life is the offering that we offer to God. And so Peter is saying that the way that people know God now isn't by going to a temple or going to those priests, but instead it's you. That as we gather together, that then we become the place that God dwells. And that as we come together, that our lives are what we offer back to God. And we do all of this together. It's two powerful metaphors of what it means for us to be a church together. And that's what I want you to think about. Because for us, these metaphors may be somewhat distant and maybe unfamiliar. But all we have to do is think about the word church. Because oftentimes we may say, well, I'm going to go to church. And by that, we mean that location and that building that we're going to go to, because there we connect with God. There we offer up our prayers. There we offer up our praise. And there oftentimes we even connect with other people that are also on that same journey with Christ that we're on. But now we're living into this reality, which is really the truth the whole time. That while our church building is closed, the church is not closed. Because we are the church. The church is not a building. The church is people. And even as we gather virtually, we are coming together as the church. That even as we gather together virtually, our lives are that living sacrifice that we are offering up to God. That as we live in holy obedience, that we do all this together, that people no longer have to come to a place to connect with God. People no longer have to look for God through this exclusive group of people, but people get to see the hope of Christ through all of us together as we live this out together, oftentimes imperfectly, to the best we can. But what this means is that each of you have a part to play, because we together represent Christ to each other and Christ to the world. That's what it means for us to be in community. And that's what Jesus is doing through each and every one of you. And that's why we miss you when you're gone. That's why we need your story. We need your talents. We need your witness. We need your life, all a part of it, because we all learn together through that. That through each and every one of us, we grow up together in our salvation. Because this is the purpose of the church. The church, no matter what location it is when a group of people gather together to be inspired and equipped to make disciples for the transformation of the world. That's what the church is. And we can do that whether we have a building, or whether we're gathering together online, whether we're gathering together in our small groups via Zoom, whether we're making phone calls and sending text messages and notes, whether we're dropping off groceries at someone's doorstep. That's what it is for us to be the church. And we do that together. And one way that we express that here at Table of Grace is we say that we want to be a place, not a location, a group of people, where all people can come to belong, believe, and become like Jesus. So no matter if you've been following Jesus for years or you're here for the very first time, and that's you today, even if you're watching for the very first time, that we are a group of people in which you can belong, believe, and become like Jesus. That's what it means for us to be the church. That's what it means for us to be part of something that's greater than ourselves. But yet, each of us have an important role to play in that, because we get to do this together. And that's how we represent Christ to each other and to the world. That's what we do. And we do that together. So what does that mean for us this week? As I was thinking about what does it mean for us to be gathered together as a church, even virtually, that there is so much restriction, that maybe we're somewhat conflicted about how we venture out and when to venture out, and how do we do that safely, and really what does it mean for us to live out our faith when we're still in, to some and maybe large degree of being sheltered in place? How do we really live this out? And I think all we have to do is to look as to this scripture and see what Peter was doing as he was writing to these Christians. Because as Peter is writing to them, he's writing to them when they're at a point in which, you know, they're restricted, they're unsettled, that they're not exactly living into the abundant life that Christ is offering to them. And Peter wants to encourage them. He wants them to know that no matter what life looks like around them, know that they are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that once they were not a people, but now they are a people. Once they had not received mercy, but now they are a people of mercy. He's encouraging them when they're in a difficult time. And that's what we get to do with each other, together, and to others around us. And that's what I want to encourage you this week, to encourage each other. In fact, I want to ask you, who can you encourage this week? And maybe for you, you're the one who really needs encouragement. You're the one who really could receive some encouragement right now. And I want you to know these words that Peter is offering to you. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you maybe weren't sure what your purpose was, but now you are a living stone. You're a royal priest. That God has given you this purpose to live a holy and set apart life. And now God is living in you and through you. And no matter who you are and what gifts and talents you think you might have or don't have, God says, I choose you and I'm living through you, and people can see Christ, see faith, hope, and love through you. And so I want to invite you, who might you encourage? Who around you is in need of encouragement? Remind them that God lives in them, that God has called them, that they make a difference, whether they see it or not, no matter how they think of themselves. Jesus has called them and offered them grace. Once they were not a people, but now they are a people. That they have received the mercy of God, that God loves them so much. So today, I want you to remember this. God is calling us to be different together. Because when we do this, when we really grasp this and live this out, we grow up in our salvation together.